Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Slide Lock Podcast with your host, William Reichel, the podcast where we deep dive in all things related to the security industry. Join us as we take a deep dive discussing training options, analyzing statutes, discussing real-world scenarios, and exploring the practical application of the Texas Penal Code for security professionals. Whether you're a seasoned officer or just starting out, this podcast is for you. In today's episode, we're taking a deep dive into the three crucial topics that every security professional and safety-conscious listener should understand: de-escalation, the use of force continuum, and the legal authorities of the security officer when it comes to arrest and detention. Our discussion will be framed around Texas law and the regulations set forth by the Texas Department of Public Safety's Private Security Program. Understanding these concepts isn't just about knowing how to react to a situation. It's about maintaining professionalism, ensuring security, and staying within the bounds of the law. Let's dive in. De-escalation refers to a set of verbal and nonverbal techniques used to prevent a situation from becoming more violent or confrontational. It's about using communication skills to reduce tension and ensure that a potential conflict doesn't escalate to a physical altercation. For security officers, de-escalation is a critical tool and is often viewed as the first line of defense, and I personally believe it is to be one of the most important. Whether it's talking someone down, maintaining a non-threatening posture, or actively listening to a person's concerns, de-escalation focuses on resolving a situation without the need to employ physical violence. The best tool an officer has is his presence. However, it is important to recognize that de-escalation isn't always successful. When situations do escalate, security officers must understand their use of force options. All right, understanding the use of force. The use of force continuum is a guideline that defines the levels of force that a security officer or law enforcement official may use based on the behavior of an individual or the severity of the threat posed. The idea is to match the officer's response to the subject's actions, de-escalating or escalating appropriately. The big question and concern for us was the amount of force used justified in apprehending the suspect based on their behavior. And this is just one of the many questions you need to be able to articulate in the report you give. In Texas, the use of force continuum for security officers is regulated by the Texas Private Security Rules and Statutes and the Occupational Administration Codes and other rules set forth by the Texas Department of Public Safety. The continuum generally starts with the lowest level of force, like the presence of an officer or verbal commands, and progresses throughout various stages. These stages include officer presence. Simply being on the scene can deter criminal behavior and establish authority. This goes back to the previous episode where we discussed looking professional. Clean uniform, polished boots, groomed head and facial hair, and your gear squared away. It matters to not look like a slob. It goes a long way in garnering respect. The next we have verbal commands, clear instructions or requests aimed at gaining involuntary compliance. Be confident. Stuttering and the nervous jitters can have the opposite effect of de-escalating a situation and make your subject nervous and uneasy. Be clear and concise. Something that may sound a little silly, but it helps if you practice saying your commands and verbiage out loud at home. Next we have soft, empty hand techniques. These are control techniques that involve minimal force, such as holding or guiding. Arm bars, grappling hooks, come-alongs, and wrist locks. These are the minimally invasive and less painful maneuvers using pressure points, nerve stimulation, and bone and joint manipulations. Continuing, we have hard empty hand techniques. Techniques that involve physical strikes or more forceful control moves. You're basically in a fight here. This is where advanced training and defensive tactics come into play. Hand-to-hand training like Krav Maga, Jiu-Jitsu, and other fighting curriculums. This is where full force and full pressure takedowns, holds, and pins come into play. This stage also includes elbows, knees, hammer fists, punches, and kicks. Your goal is complete physical dominance over the subject to achieve compliance and then detention. Do not, I repeat, do not attempt to detain the subject until he is compliant. I have seen way too many security officers trying to detain a subject while holding their handcuffs and still fighting with them at the same time. Intermediate weapons. This includes the use of non-lethal tools such as batons and pepper spray. The next step in the use of force continuum would be using all those fancy tools you have on your bat belt. Talking didn't work, light force didn't work, hard techniques didn't work. The next step is tools. Like I said earlier, now is the time you get to use all those fancy tools on your bat utility belt. I personally don't like OC spray, but it does have a purpose. It is a great tool to disorient the suspect and to be able to restrain and detain them. Cons are, though, you're probably going to get it on you and feel the effects as well. The effects are also sometimes delayed, defeating the purpose of it in the first place. Batons are a great tool to use when you are in close proximity and trying to gain an advantage over the suspect. There is not really an order in which you should use any particular method, although distance is going to be the main determining factor for which tool you use and when to use it. These tools are meant to help you create distance and gain compliance. Next and last, we have lethal force. This is the last resort used only when there is an imminent threat to the life of the officer and others around them. Lethal force, though, means imminent threat of death or serious bodily injury to yourself or someone else around you. Remember that part of it. If, God forbid, you have to draw your duty weapon, you are more than likely have just been fighting like your life depends on it. Your adrenaline is going to be up, your heart rate is going to be through the roof, and you'll probably even have a bit of tunnel vision going on as well. But remember, just because you draw your firearm doesn't give you the right to just start blasting rounds away. Your OODA loop, which is your observe, orient, decide, and act loop, is constantly refreshing, and you'll have to evaluate the situation with split-second precision. Most of the time, just drawing and presenting your firearm will quickly deter the suspect from continuing to resist, and he will start to comply with commands. Unfortunately, compliance is not always achieved, and the suspect keeps resisting and or continues to pose an imminent and immediate threat to yourself or others. It's not something to take lightly, but it is something that you need to come to grips with and be able to do, which is that you may have to take another person's life in the commission and discharge of your duties. Prepare yourself ahead of time, because in the moment is not the time to have that moral dilemma and epiphany. Remember, if presenting your duty weapon makes the subject compliant, great. Sometimes, though, they break contact and take off running like Forrest Gump. Depending on the circumstances, you may not have the authority to chase and pursue the subject. Just be situation aware and be able to articulate what happened, and not only your report, but also to the police as well, and both are just as important. A key point to remember is that the use of force should always be reasonable and necessary based on the situation. Overstepping the boundaries of the use of force continuum can lead to serious legal repercussions, both civilly and criminally. Remember that the use of force continuum is a one-way street. It's a progression from verbal and physical presence stepped up to deadly force. You don't just jump to OC or baton or pull your firearm from the start. Your tools are not to force someone into compliance in a threatening manner. You are not to be the assaulter or the aggressor, but to be continuously trying to persuade the suspect into compliance using the de-escalation tactics and the progression of the continuum that you learned. Don't threaten the suspect with physical violence or threaten compliance with your tools in an overly aggressive manner, because optics sometimes are everything. The reason behind this is, if you are the aggressor, then are you really in imminent danger? Then the door of liability opens, and that's a question you have to answer yourself. All right, now let's talk about arrest and detention authorities for security officers in Texas. Security officers are not law enforcement officers, and their authority is limited compared to that of police officers. However, they do have the right to detain individuals. In Texas, security officers have the authority to perform what is known as the citizen's arrest. This means they can detain a person if they have probable cause to believe that the person has committed a felony or breach of peace or an offense against the public order. The officer must then immediately call the police to transfer custody of the detained subject. It is crucial to understand that this authority comes with strict limitations, though. A security officer cannot transport or confine a suspect for an extended period of time, nor can they interrogate the suspect. Their role is limited to detaining the individual in a reasonable manner until law enforcement arrives. Detention will also be carried out with the appropriate level of force as dictated by the use of force continuum we discussed earlier. Violating these guidelines can lead to accusations of unlawful restraint or false imprisonment, which may have serious consequences. Therefore, security officers must be well-versed in their legal powers and the limitations set forth by the state of Texas. Security officers also have the authority to temporarily detain a person they believe to have stolen items from a property owner. This detention can only be while the ownership of the property is being validated. This must be done with minimalist force. Again, this falls back to Title 6, Chapter 124 of the Civil Practice and Remedies Code, the privilege to investigate theft. This section states a person who reasonably believes that another person has stolen or is attempting to steal property is privileged to detain that person in a reasonable manner for a reasonable amount of time to investigate ownership of the property. The law states that a person can act on this privilege to conduct a limited investigation to determine if stolen property is on the person or if they have committed a theft in the first place. This privilege aims to give businesses a way to protect their property and maintain order without having to rely solely on law enforcement. All right, let's dive deeper into the use of force continuum and its practical applications. Imagine a scenario where a security officer encounters an individual who is verbally aggressive but not physically threatening. The officer's presence and verbal commands are the first tools they should use. If the individual escalates and begins to physically threaten the officer, moving up to soft empty techniques like guiding the individual away may be appropriate. If the subject continues to resist and becomes violent, empty-handed techniques like takedowns may become necessary. Should the subject then threaten serious bodily harm or display a weapon, the officer may need to escalate to intermediate weapons like a baton. However, lethal force is only justified when the officer or another person faces imminent, life-threatening danger or serious bodily injury. In each step, the security officer must ask themselves, is this level of force reasonable and necessary given the circumstances? Answering that question correctly in real time is what separates a responsible and professional officer from one who may face disciplinary actions or legal trouble. All right, here are some practical tips for security officers. For security professionals, it's important to know the law. Be familiar with the Texas private rules, regulations, and statutes. Understand the use of force continuum. 1. Know the law. Be familiar with the Texas private security rules, regulations, and statutes. 2. Understand the use of force continuum. Always applies the least amount of force necessary, building up, not down. 3. Document incidents. Keep thorough, accurate records of any use of force or detention. Attention to detail. You may need to recount this event in detail in front of a court. Don't embellish, just write clearly and concisely what happened. The who, what, when, why, and where. 4. Participate in continuous training. Regular training in de-escalation techniques and the use of force continuum is essential. Don't be afraid to get physical. Take defensive tactics and hand-to-hand classes. Force-on-force training and simulation scenarios are valuable as well. 5. Maintain professionalism at all times. Stay calm and collected, even in stressful situations. Be an ambassador of customer service and always maintain your professionalism. Someone is always watching. Following these guidelines will help ensure that officers perform their duties within the legal and ethical boundaries set forth by the state of Texas. All right, guys, here's an FAQ. Let's test your knowledge and see if you've been listening to anything I've been saying. Question. What is the primary goal of de-escalation? I'll give you a second to type or think about your response. All right, the answer. The primary goal of de-escalation is to reduce the intensity of a conflict or potentially dangerous situations using communication techniques, avoiding the need for physical intervention whenever possible. Next question. When is lethal force justified for security officer? I'll give you a second. Answer. Lethal force is justified only when the officer or another person is in immediate danger of serious bodily injury or death, and all of the other options have been exhausted or deemed insufficient and have not worked. All right, question. Can security officers arrest individuals? Answer. Security officers can perform a citizen's arrest if they witness and observe a felony, breach of the peace, or public order offense. They must immediately involve law enforcement and cannot transport or interrogate the subject. Texas Code of Criminal Procedures, Title 1, Chapter 14, Article 14.1. All right, next question. How often should a security officer undergo training on the use of force continuum? I'll give you a second to answer. It's recommended that security officers undergo regular training sessions at least annually, though some companies and jurisdictions may require more frequent updates. However, your guard card is valid for approximately 2 years. Honestly, though, I would get as much training as you possibly can whenever you can. There is a significant amount of free training options out there. YouTube, for the most part, is free, but really the limitations are what you put on yourself. Honestly, do it whenever you can. Well, everybody, that's it for today's deep dive on the Slide Lock Podcast. Hope you found this information valuable. And remember, it's your career. Take charge of it and strive for excellence. Join us every other Thursday evening for more insights into the security industry, where we'll break down training options, interpret legal jargon, and discuss real-world scenarios. I'm your host, William Reichel. Thank you for tuning into the Slide Lock Podcast. You can listen in wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Don't forget to like, follow, and share. Message us with any questions, comments, or topics you'd like for us to cover and explore. Remember, stay safe, stay informed, and stay ahead. Catch you next time.